All right, Alexander, let's talk about the summit that Trump looks like he will be hosting, the Serbia-Kosovo summit in Washington, set up by Richard Grenell. People may know Richard Grenell now for the work he did with releasing the DNI documents, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, the DNI. Yeah.
He was the acting DNI.
Acting director.
Director of National Intelligence. He carried out a massive declassification exercise, which has cast a huge light on the Russiagate story. We've now known an awful lot about Russiagate, largely because of Grenell.
Yeah, well, and he's also involved in the Serbia-Kosovo issue. So he's taking the lead on this. And this is what he tweeted, actually. And this is this will add some context to what's going on here. Mm-hmm. Great news. I have received the commitment from the governments of Kosovo and Serbia to temporarily pause the derecognition campaign and the seeking of international memberships in order to meet in Washington, D.C. at the White House on June 27 for dialogue discussions. If either side is unsatisfied with the June 27 discussions, then they will go back to the status quo after they leave Washington. As we have consistently said, we must first make progress on growing the economies. This is the focus. I look forward to these discussions. Now, let me read you a couple of short paragraphs from RT on this story. Hosting the leaders of Serbia and its breakaway province of Kosovo at the White House on the eve of a major anniversary in Serbian and world history raises questions about what President Donald Trump may be up to in the Balkans. While no longer the acting director of national intelligence or ambassador to Germany as of 2 weeks ago, Richard Grenell is technically still Trump's special envoy for Serbia-Kosovo talks. It was in this capacity that he announced the meeting scheduled for June 27. Now, Alexander, I believe Serbia is also close to an election as well, where Vucic is expected to win decisively.
Yes, sweep the board, apparently. Yeah,
sweep the board. So he will have a mandate to, a strong mandate to do as he wishes. Obviously, there's a lot of discussion in Kosovo as well as to what Trump's feelings are with Kosovo. There was no doubt what the Clintons' feelings were with Kosovo, Bill Clinton. There was no doubt what Obama's feelings were towards Kosovo, or Bush for that matter, W. Bush. They actually have statues erected towards them, statues. There's that word again, statues, which are not being torn down of them in Kosovo. So, you know, they've actually had statues to pay homage to what they've done in Kosovo, the Clintons and the Bushes. So while the people of Kosovo felt very comfortable with those presidencies and those White House administrations, they are not comfortable with the Trump White House. And I think they shouldn't be comfortable. I'm not saying that Trump is going to change anything. I don't think he's going to be a game changer. But I wouldn't be surprised if he wants to stick it to the Clintons, who are the architects of the disaster that is Kosovo. I would not be surprised to see if Trump wants to stick it to the Clintons. So what are your thoughts?
I agree with both points. I think we just need to quickly recap a bit on the Kosovo conflict. Kosovo is the Serbs would still say, insist on, a region within Serbia where the majority of the population speak Albanian, but which is extremely important to the Serb people's national identity. I mean, many of them feel that their state was basically created within Kosovo. There was a insurgency that was launched against Serbia by part of the Albanian speaking population in the 1990s. This led to a bombing campaign by NATO in support of the secessionist movement, some of whose members were very violent, by the way. And the result was that there was a peace agreement. Kosovo was basically became a kind of protectorate under NATO control. And in breach of agreements that were made when that bombing war was ended and a resolution of the Security Council, the United States and the Western allies then recognized Kosovo as an independent state. This is something that Serbia has never accepted, which Serbia considers to be against international law, which is a huge issue within Serbia itself, and which has put Serbia in a state of permanent confrontation with the United States and with the West. And of course, this is part of the big story in the Balkans of what happened with the breakup of Yugoslavia. Now, the people who pushed initially for support for the Kosovo insurgency against Serbia, the Albanian insurgency against Serbia in Kosovo in the 1990s, were the Clinton administration. That was the, it was the Clinton administration that carried out the bombing war. It was the George W. Bush administration which went back on the agreements which ended that bombing war and went against the United Nations Security Council resolutions and recognized Kosovo as an independent state. And it was the Obama administration which continued that policy of building up Kosovo and making it a major base for the US forces in the Balkans and supporting Kosovo in effect against Serbia. So that's the background. And Donald Trump now comes along and he's representative Ambassador Grenell, and they say, well, look, we're not really committed so much any longer to pursuing this policy of getting Kosovo internationally recognized, because, by the way, I should say a lot of countries do not recognize Kosovo's independence. What we want instead is to promote economic links between Kosovo and Serbia. It's not quite a reversal of policy, as you say, but it is in effect a watering down of that policy. In other words, we're no longer backing Kosovo as an independent state as we once were. We're no longer making economic development for Serbia, trading links with Serbia, hostage to Serbia recognizing Kosovo as we once did. We just prefer to leave things as they are, to let Kosovo and Serbia sort it out. And in the meantime, we want to re-establish economic links with everybody so that we can grow the economies. Well, unsurprisingly, the Kosovo Albanians who support independence from Serbia are extremely worried. The Serbs, on balance, I think, are rather pleased. And of course, we will see what happens in this negotiation. I predict, by the way, nothing very much, but it suits Trump to make it seem again that he's the, you know, the diplomat, the mediator, the negotiator. And of course, as you absolutely rightly say, it gives him this perfect opportunity to set himself off against the Clintons, against Bush, against Obama, against all of those people. He'll say, you divided the Balkans, you created wars there, you involved the US there, the US troops in Kosovo. To this day, I, on the contrary, am bringing peace. I'm looking for diplomatic solutions. I'm ultimately looking to bring those American soldiers back home. So it's Donald Trump both, you know, I think generally perhaps trying to find a solution to a problem in which he has no personal investment at all. He's never taken a public position on it to any real degree. And at the same time, he's able to show to the Clintons, to George W. Bush, to Obama, to the neocons, to the neoliberals, to the new humanitarian interventionists, to the NATO expanders, to all of that crowd of people, to the deep state, well, ultimately, I don't agree with your policy. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do it my way in the Balkans. And I hope he does, because he's, let me say it very quickly, is the right way if he follows through.
Yeah, the Clintons, the Bushes, the Obamas, the George Soros of the world that destroyed Yugoslavia, that are aiming to destroy Serbia, that have created this this NATO base. I'm not going to say a country, a NATO base in essence.
Absolutely.
Located. Yeah.
Absolutely. And can I just say, I mean, you know, Kosovo, if if you know anything about it, is a deeply demoralized a place at the moment. I mean, it's also, basically run by organized crime groups. It's a major center for the international drugs trade. A lot of heroin passes through
Human
there.
trafficking.
Human trafficking. I mean, you name it. I mean, it's an extraordinarily badly run place, a very unhappy place, actually, in many, many ways. And the government itself in Kosovo is a very precarious and rickety institution because, of course, a lot of people in Kosovo are perfectly well aware that it's not really anything more than, a fig leaf for the big NATO base, the big that has been created there. So it's not a happy situation at all.
Yeah, well, America beware when you let the Clintons and the George Soros and all these people create these color revolutions in your country. So I go to a Max Perry article from the UNS Review, and it has the title, Beware the Hijacking of US Protests into a Color Revolution. And now, Alexander, the link in the story that we just discussed and the story that is unfolding in the US is none other than George Soros and the people that George Soros uses to create these color revolutions. Now, the Perry article goes into a lot of depth as to how Soros works, and I'll put a link for that article in the description box down below. And he talks about how George Soros dismantled Eastern Europe, how he worked through people like economic advisor Jeffrey Sachs to manipulate the Eastern Europe bloc and essentially to enrich himself, because George Soros, at the end of the day, makes money with currency trading and currency manipulation, and how ticked off he was with Putin and Russia because he couldn't work some of that demonic magic that he worked in Eastern Europe onto Russia because Putin came along, and Putin had other plans than to have Soros feed off of the Russian state. And the article goes into some depth as to not only Black Lives Matter and how Soros uses these groups to create instability, but how he uses and how he used groups in Serbia to dismantle Yugoslavia and to continue to dismantle Serbia. One of those figures is Srijada Popović, I hope I pronounced his name correctly, who was the founder of a group called Otpor, which means resistance in Serbian, and the Center for Applied Nonviolent Action and Strategies, otherwise known as CANVAS, very much like the Open Society Foundation and all these other nefarious Soros groups, the NED and Open Society, CANVAS, all these groups, US aid that create color revolutions. Eventually, they were creating them abroad. Ukraine is, I guess, probably one of the most recent examples of the color revolutions. And now it looks like Soros is using these hired guns, in this case, this Serbian guy Popović, to take these color revolutions to the United States. And the main gist of this article, Alexander, real quickly before you get into it, is that while it looks like this specific color revolution and what's happening in Seattle with CHAZ, this new country within a country, this CHAZ that they've created, looks like it may not succeed, he is issuing a warning to all Americans: be very careful, be vigilant. This is the final quote. This is the last sentence of his article. It's too early to say determinately whether what is taking place in the U.S. is indeed a color revolution, but by the time we realize, it may be too late. That's how he ends his article.
Absolutely. I mean, it's important to say Max Parry's article is very, very interesting, and in my opinion, a fine analytical article. It's important to say, by the way, that
It's
it comes
long, so it's a
is
long article.
long. It's a long article, but I mean, it's important to say that it's written by someone who belongs very much to the political left, as I understand it. So it's a very interesting analytical article by somebody who is looking at this from a particular perspective, but who is very conscious of objective facts. And I think the underlying point he's making is that we saw in the 1990s this system of carrying out color revolutions being perfected in places like the former Yugoslavia. and it's been developed there and brought back now. It's been re-imported to the United States, and we see again how some of these same elements, you know, the Open Society Foundation, all these NGOs, all of that, are now becoming used within the US political process itself to try to alter the political direction of the United States. So it's a re-import into the United States of tools that the US deep state has used to engineer outcomes in other countries. Now, we're talking about Kosovo. The important thing to understand about the situation in Kosovo is that Kosovo, the reason the US backed secession from Serbia was because the United States has a long-term objective, or is it the United States, these people in the United States, the neocons, the neoliberals, the deep state, all of these people have a long-term plan to weaken Serbia because Serbia is perceived as pro-Russian, it's independent, it's got strong institutions, it had a certain commitment to socialism. It was not something, by which I mean a control of its own industries, control over its own companies. It stood out to a great extent against the program for change that these people wanted to see carried out in Eastern Europe. So you weaken it, you weaken that state by detaching its various component parts from it, you bomb it. And then what happened was, shortly after, in 2000, there was an engineered color revolution. I think everybody in Serbia today accepts that that was what happened, in which we saw all of these same groups that we've been talking about, you know, the NGOs, the Open Society Foundation, all of them. And of course, behind them, you know, state entities like the CIA, they're all operating under the scenes. They manipulate crowds, they use social media, they use publicity, they use all of those sort of things to incite an uprising against the government of Serbia, and they managed to overthrow it. And I'm going to say something, this had a massive effect in Russia. It was one of those events that caused both the bombing and what happened in Serbia caused the Russians to say, you know, if they do this in Serbia, they will one day try and do it to us. And it changed the course of Russian history, and it brought about the you know, the great reversal in Russia, which Putin has come to embody, the re-sovereignization of Russia, if you will. And it never fully worked in Serbia either, which has a very strong national and political identity, and where we've seen parties which basically oppose these forces, despite that color revolution, reassert themselves and come to power. Now, Vucic is somebody who has very carefully, you know, kept the balance between the two. On the one hand, he's been willing to keep open doors to the West, and he's talked about taking Serbia into the EU. On the other hand, he is very, very close to the Russians. So it's not quite worked in Serbia, but it was certainly tried there. And what Parry is saying is that with all of these forces, all these protests that we see in the United States with BLM, he accepts that there are actual, real structural faults within US society, real grievances, but he says that behind the scenes, all of these same forces that we used in Serbia, that we used in Georgia in 2000, in 2003, where there was the so-called Rose Revolution, that were operating in Ukraine in 2004, in the so-called Orange Revolution, that were again operating in Ukraine in 2013-14, in the so-called Revolution of Dignity. All of these people are back in action, but this time they're not doing it in faraway countries, they're doing it in the United States itself. And he identifies some of the people involved, and he identifies the paymasters. And of course, George Soros is clearly one of the paymasters because he has both a personal interest in all of this, because he wants to basically deconstruct the economies of these countries, because that makes him and the kind of oligarchy, the financial oligarchy, which he is involved in, it makes him richer. But of course, he also has a genuine ideological objective, which is, if you like, the globalization objective, which unquestionably he does believe in. But you see him pursuing that objective in the Balkans, and he's also pursuing it in the United States.
Yeah. The message is for Americans to be vigilant, to be careful.
To be vigilant, exactly. Yeah. Because you know, what has happened, and it's very difficult to convey to people who've not experienced it, how much cynicism these color revolutions create, because they're not real revolutions. They're manipulated events. They mean that nothing is trusted anymore, because people see a protest, people see politicians who become opposition politicians, and the immediate question people ask in countries that have gone through this process is not, do these people believe in what they're saying? The question they ask is, who is funding them? Who is behind them? It creates a huge cynicism in the way that politics is conducted. And you see right across Eastern Europe this huge reaction going on. I talked about the reaction that has happened in Russia against this type of politics. But it's happened in Poland with the rise of the Law and Justice Party there. It's happened very strongly in Hungary with Viktor Orban. It's happened to some extent, as we saw, in Serbia. It's happened more so in Bosnia, by the way, where there's been great resistance to it. And it's happened in Georgia to some extent also, where Mikhail Saakashvili, who was, you know, the president that they imposed, was overthrown. So it's an unpopular policy in these countries. It demoralizes politics. If you saw what these countries have become, the kind of places that they've become, you will understand how the extent to which it demoralizes politics in those countries. And what Max Parry is saying, it threatens to do the same in the United States, because people will no longer see politicians in the United States and accept them as, you know, actual politicians. They will see them instead, come to see them as representatives of shadowy forces operating behind the scenes, and they will lose faith in the democratic and constitutional process.
Yeah, it's really interesting how the U.S. has funded, the deep state has funded all these Soros organizations all around the world, starting from Yugoslavia all the way to Ukraine. And they've just burnt everything down, everything they touch they destroy.
Yes.
And now it's, you know, just been re-imported back to the U.S. Yeah,
it's coming home. I mean, it's coming home. I mean, it was bound to. I mean, you know, you can't do this all the time to other people and not expect it to happen to yourself eventually. I mean, it was inevitably going to happen that sooner or later these forces that have been given so much power within the United States to carry out all these, you know, regime change operations and color revolution operations in other countries would apply those methods within the United States itself. And that's what's happened. That was what Russiagate was all about. There is a very strong element of that. This is what Max Parry says in the protests we're seeing in the United States now. And you read his article, it sets it all out with great clarity.
Yeah, I'll put a link for that in the description. As I said, if I forget to put a link there, just remind me, everybody, in the comments. I'll put it in there. All right, Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. And also go to The Durant Shop, pick up some merchandise. We've got all kinds of new merchandise, so check it out, guys. Check it out. Pick up some stuff. It looks really good.
We have extraordinary merchandise. We have the most amazing new range of our famous magic mugs, which you will find in our shop. You will find the most amazing mugs there. I've spoken so often about our mugs, but you really do need to go and see what is coming up on our shop. I just remind everybody, they're the best mugs in the world. They're strong, they're light, they're elegant, they're beautiful, and they now have wonderful new symbols and emblems on them, which Alex has chosen. So go to our shop and see what you will find. And you will also find lots of other amazing products, like the shirts our famous, equally famous Durand shirts, all 100% cotton, all beautifully made, like the polo shirt I'm wearing at the moment, beautifully made, extraordinarily stylish, incredibly comfortable. They're all there. You'll find them there in the shop, both the old products, but especially look out for the new, because they're really exciting. And by the way, I've made an order for some of these new products myself, which I will hopefully be getting very soon, so that I can show them all to you. And can I also add, as well as our major products, our mugs, our shirts, our hats, hoodies, and stickers, we also, of course, have ebooks, and we're going to be expanding the range of those also. But please go to our shop, see what is there, support the Durand, buy these great things. Alex will tell you how.
You'll find a link in the description box down below, the durandshop.com. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.